Ignition sequence start. We should see fire. 4, 3, 2, 1.
50 years ago this month, Apollo 11 made its historic trip to the moon, and Neil Armstrong became the first man to walk on the surface of the moon. The story is told in the new National Geographic documentary that airs Sunday. It's called Apollo: Missions to the Moon, and it uses a treasure of archival footage, photos, and sound to tell the story of the entire Apollo program. We spoke with the film's executive producer and director, Tom Jennings, as well as Mike Massimino, who's a former astronaut, senior advisor at the Intrepid Sea, Air, and Space Museum. He also teaches at Columbia University. Massimino was a child during the moon landing. It made a big impression.
For me, it was a very personal, emotional, meaningful thing when I was 6 years old and I watched Neil Armstrong take those first steps on the moon from my living room in suburban Long Island. And I idolized those astronauts, and it made me want to grow up and fly in space one day.
Tom, I don't know if you had some of the same feelings from when you were a kid, but I wonder when you decided to make this documentary, if you had in mind a certain kind of nostalgia, or if you wanted it to be forward-looking by looking at previous footage. What did you have in mind?
I think nostalgia first, in that I'm old enough to remember the Apollo mission, the later missions, certainly starting with 8. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, and one of the main astronauts from the Apollo program, Jim Lovell, is from Cleveland. And so because we had a local guy aboard Apollo 8 and then Apollo 13, it was very big news in my hometown. And my memory is of Apollo 8 more than 11 and the Apollo 8 Christmas Eve broadcast, which we feature in the film.
And for all the people back on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message that we would like to send to you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light."
I remember being a little boy going to the corner store on Christmas Eve and looking up at the moon and then looking down the street to where I lived, thinking, I have to get to my house so I can sit in my living room so I can watch these guys that are up there, and really feeling almost overwhelmed with wonder at the time. And in putting the entire project together, I wanted to recapture that.
Tom, you give a complete timeline going from the launch of the Russian satellite Sputnik in 1957, which jump-started the space race for the United States, all the way to the last Apollo mission, Apollo 17. This includes footage of the crew of Apollo 1. I want to hear a little bit of the TV interview with one pilot, Roger Chaffee, who is responding to a question about why America should even try to go to the moon.
You might say, and sound a little trite, it's there. We'd be neglecting our duties as people, as human beings, if we didn't try to investigate it.
That piece of sound is especially tough to hear, I think, because Roger Chaffee, along with Gus Grissom and Ed White, were all killed when there was a fire on the capsule during a rehearsal for the launch. I think a lot of people forget that even before the Challenger accident in 1986, the space program cost lives. For you, Mike, how did that figure into your desire to be an astronaut?
I was getting ready to go to graduate school when the Challenger accident happened, and it didn't change anything about my wanting to be an astronaut at that time. I wanted to pursue that. I think it's the most important thing we can be doing. It's our natural evolution of where we're going to go next and who we really are. So when I hear Roger Chaffee with those words that you played, he is, I think, giving the words that this is that important to him, that if something happens, he died doing something that he thought was important. And I think that anything you do in life, you should feel that way about. It should be worth that much to you.
Tom Jennings, as director and executive producer, how did you go about conveying that in the film? Because you don't have talking heads in the film. You use, as we said, a lot of archival footage, including home movies. How did you express feelings like what Mike just said through the images?
The way we approached it is we broke down the story of Apollo. We looked at the missions almost as a character, as if we were building a feature film of a fictional story. And we needed to do that in order to sort through the amount of material. We started this project a year and a half ago. And until we delivered the master, I can tell you up until a few days before, we were finding one more photo or one more piece of footage, one more piece of audio that was just like, oh, we could tweak that section out just a little bit more.
Tom, is there one image or, you know, home movie or piece of archival sound or video that you found that you thought this was a real find?
I particularly liked the moments that showed the human face of people at the time. One was during the Apollo 11 landing. We found footage from Southern California in Garden Grove, California. It was the nation's first drive-in church. And there were hundreds of cars parked at the drive-in church with a priest up underneath the movie screen saying a prayer for the astronauts of Apollo 11.
This is a very special day for you and for all of mankind. For you are permitting man to conquer space and on this very day to plant his footsteps on the moon.
Where'd you get that?
From a station in Southern California. We looked for – it's not just Walter Cronkite telling you the story. We went to the local stations, and I think that further sets us apart from other films about the Apollo missions. And the idea is that you're seeing and hearing the story told to you by people you've never seen or heard before. And so even though the story may be familiar to you, you're seeing it with fresh eyes because someone brand new is telling it to you. And not only that, they're telling it to you in the moment at the time.
So this month marks the 50th anniversary, of course, of Apollo 11's landing on the moon. Let's hear another bit from the film. This is as Neil Armstrong is being given the go-ahead to take those first steps on the moon.
Okay, T1, stay, no stay, retro.
Stay.
Vital.
Stay.
Guidance.
Stay.
Control.
Stay.
Telcom.
Stay.
GNC.
Stay.
Econ.
Stay.
Surgeon.
Stay.
Capcom, we're stay for T1.
Tom, as you show in the film, the landing on the moon almost didn't happen. Why not?
They were running out of gas. I mean, to put it very simply, they are fuel. Once they landed, they would need fuel to then launch off the surface of the moon to get them back into the lunar orbit. And if they didn't set down in just the right amount of time, they would have to abort the mission. And they came very, very close. It was within several seconds of them having to say, we can't do this. We need to go back up. And you know, I'm very proud of the editors and the composer who worked on this because it's a very dramatic moment. And it's as dramatic as any feature film that you would see about this event. But everything in it is real and exact, and you know it comes from the source material, and that's something that I'm very proud of.
There is Armstrong. You can see him moving.
Okay, Neil, we can see you coming down the ladder now.
There's that foot coming down.
There he is. There's a foot coming down the steps.
Tom Jennings, it's hard not to get behind somebody like Neil Armstrong or Mike Massimino, for that matter, but you're not shy in the film about
Thank you.
including comments about the cost of the space program, especially in the 1970s when the economy worsened. Why was it important for you to express that side of the story?
It was part of the story. It was a big part of the story. Once the mission had been completed, meaning Apollo 11 had set down on the moon and men had walked on the moon, people started to ask questions about, is it worth it? And after Apollo 17, NASA stopped doing deep space exploration. And I've talked with people who were NASA engineers at the time who said that if we had kept going, we would have landed on Mars 30 years ago. But that didn't happen. And a lot of the reason that didn't happen is because the funding was cut back. And the desire to push farther into deep space wasn't there. It's important to understand that despite this great achievement, that things like politics and budget can affect how far we're willing to go. And so I wanted to make sure that was included as part of the story, even though in some ways it's tough to hear.
Mike, what would you say to people who feel that the space program costs too much when there's money to be spent here on Earth? And while it might fulfill our spirit of exploration, which you certainly have, that there's not enough payoff for the United States.
We do have things that I would say are more important than the space program that keep people healthy and fed. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But I think there's also something you need to put away for the future. And that's what I see our space program as. It's helped us understand our place in the universe, where we are, how we got here. But it's also helped us understand our planet. And I think that it's been a source of inspiration and also a great way for countries to cooperate together. I think that it's worth that investment. It doesn't come quickly, the return, but it has come, and I think it's going to really skyrocket, so to speak, in the next few years.
Good terminology. Former astronaut Mike Massimino and Tom Jennings, who's the director and executive producer of the documentary Apollo Missions to the Moon. The film is going to be airing this Sunday on the National Geographic Channel. So nice to speak to you both. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.